Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, we're up in, speaking of party, we're up in Tomball, 249 Buffalo Wild Wings location. Come through, hang out with us. Big shout out to Bud Light for making this thing happen. We're giving away two tickets to Sunday's game to the Jaguars. And we had last week's winner come in of the tickets, and apparently these are pretty good seats, Ron. I don't know. I hadn't checked them, but apparently there's some pretty good seats. So you want to get by here, you want to get your name in the raffle box. We're going to pull in the 5 o'clock hour for that. We've already given away one $25 gift card. He's back. He's back, by the way.
Yeah, he came on in.
And we're giving away another $25 gift card. And that's a gift card, just general gift card. You can spend it at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can spend it buying Bud Light somewhere. You can buy whatever the hell you want with that gift card. But the tickets to Saturday's game, Sunday's game, also come with wristbands that'll get you into the Bud Light tailgate, which you can only imagine is one hell of a party. Again, we're up in Tomball, Buffalo Wild Wings, 249. Come hang out with us. Plenty of room. They just remodeled this location not too long ago. It's got a real sports bar vibe to it now. Wide open, TVs everywhere. It's money, and we got a good thing going on these Thirsty Thursdays. So come on through and hang out with us, Ron. The biggest conversation, or let's say, other than penalties, the biggest conversation is Laremy Tunsil and penalties, right? But you know, I think that over the last year and a half, since Bobby Slowick, D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, and all this whole group came together, the biggest conversation, biggest concern, if you want to call it that, about the Houston Texans is the inability to generate a run game. So much so that the fact that they signed Joe Mixon or trade for Joe Mixon in the offseason, and he goes for $150, damn near $160, almost had a career day, his career best first game day as a Houston Texan against the Colts. He lights it up. And I think, okay, now if this is the Texans' run game, then this is a Super Bowl contender. Now, a lot has changed since then. They've played two legit defenses in the Bears and the Minnesota Vikings.
I was going to say, a lot has changed in a short period of time.
Short period of time, man. They have not been able to run the football worth a damn since. Joe Mixon got injured shortly after that in game two. And let's be honest, the pass game is nowhere near what we expected it to be in year two after what C.J. Stroud and company did in year one. But the biggest concern, the biggest, I think, talking point about the Texans is even today, right now, is the inability to generate a run game. We've had this discussion at length. There's really no need to go back into all the X's and O's of it, Ron, but there is something that I'm hearing and we've been hearing for a while now. I think Mel Kiper started this thing last week, and maybe it was earlier this week, but last week I think Mel Kiper started it when he was talking about all these shell coverages with cover two safeties deep in the league, and that's why we're not seeing as many explosive plays, and that's why the scoring's down, that's why the quarterback production is down, and all of that. And you know, we hear Bobby Slowick has said that twice, actually, in press conference.
I just answered this one also, but
yeah, you've answered it twice.
You might want to calm down on that now.
And I'll be honest with you, Bobby. At the time, I didn't think about it. It dawned on me. I had a light bulb moment yesterday when Ron was talking about it. And truth be told, D'Amico Ryans, he spoke to the media yesterday, and D'Amico Ryans talked about the shell coverage, talked about the cover two safeties, talked about the lack of explosive plays. Here's D'Amico Ryans with that comment.
When it comes to the split safety looks, at the end of the day, defenses are trying to eliminate the explosive passes, and that's where offenses are trying to thrive on making the explosives, and that's how you score points. You get an explosive on a drive, typically it'll lead to points. So, you know, strategically, you want to stop the explosives. Offense want to still find a way to design plays to get you to uncover in the back end so they can hit the explosives. So it'll always be that chess match of who wins the explosive battle.
Ron, I'm going to be honest with you, to hell with the explosives at this point. I mean, let's just get back to the boring stuff and let's see if we can't move the football and score some points, right? But that that piece of audio, I think you played it yesterday, and that's kind of when it dawned on me, Ron, is like, how bad is Bobby Slowick's run game? Because in football 101, you always tell quarterbacks or you tell play callers or young footballers, offensive footballers, when you're talking to them, is if a team's playing cover two, if there's two safeties on the roof, the number one thing a good football team does, a smart football team does, is they run the football right at them. And so I just started connecting the dots yesterday of how bad it really is that we can't generate a run game, and we've got an offensive coordinator and a head coach talking about how they're seeing more two safeties on the roof types of defenses, and that's why we're not getting the explosive plays that we're used to getting. It's painful when I start connecting those kind of dots, Ron, because it's, if you're ever going to be able to run the football, it should be with two safeties on the roof.
No, it absolutely should be, and not just safeties. These guys are deep. Like there is no coming up. There's no running up. They are deep, and a lot of teams, a lot of defenses, Clint, are doing that this year. And you know the comparison, and I think this is a team that the Texans want to be competing with at the end of the year. This is happening to the Chiefs. They're doing this to the Chiefs. The Chiefs just lost their running back, Isaiah Pacheco. They're handing the ball. Mahomes has said it after the game. Like, they're going to keep playing two on the box, two on the roof, like you're saying, two safeties deep. It just screams for us to have to run the football. And they're doing it with Carson Steele and Shamaje Perine. Now, they're not doing it crazy, but they ran for like 125 yards. That you just have to at least do that enough to hit them. Well, and the Texans should be able to do that.
We've talked about what they should be able to do, Ron, and what they need to do and all that. And I don't – I mean, look, at this point, I'm tired of talking about it. To me, it's one of those where, like, boy, it's worse. And now that I've connected, had that light bulb moment, I was like, boy, it's worse than you would think, because it's – We've got a two on the roof epidemic going on, and we still can't run it. So, hopefully they can get that done moving forward. At least they can get the pass game rolling, and we don't have to worry about it. We'll see. But boy, the trend in the NFL says that it should be easier to run the football today than it's ever been.
Oh,
based on what folks are talking about.
Because it's not just two on the roof. It's two on the roof, and then it's 235-pound linebackers.
Yes. Yeah,
that are sitting right there with Kenyon Green and Shaq Mason, and Juice Scruggs last week. So
it's more concerning than I thought. The other news of late, there's some more. We'll get to that. Ron will get to that in the next segment. But there's a little bit more news here. But on the injury report, Tank Dell obviously is a guy that's got a hand wrist issue. He's got a chest rib issues, so he's got multiple issues going on that don't bode well for a receiver, and he hasn't practiced this week. It's trending towards him not playing. And Ron, I didn't think that we were going to need this insurance policy so early on, but this is exactly why Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans keep a guy like Robert Woods around.
Yeah, he was getting action last week.
He was in there last week, but he's a guy that, like, obviously if he doesn't get a ton of reps, he's going to be able to jump in the huddle and know every receiver position, know all the terminology, know all the shifts and motions, and you don't miss a blink, right? You don't it doesn't change anything. Now, you got a lesser player, obviously.
I was going to say, it's a different player, different style player. I don't know if you're doing as much the stuff in the run game with him, the gadget stuff, but – he is a veteran that you definitely can trust to be where he's supposed to be.
I'm glad you brought up the gadget stuff, because now what you do is in that situation, you'd want Diggs to be that guy more than likely. But with Robert Woods, it's interchangeable, because he knows it like the back of his hands. Robert can do anything. Hey, Robert, go to Diggs' receiver spot. Diggs, you go to Robert's, and now we're going to hand this thing to Diggs instead of Robert Woods. This is the insurance policy that we talked about early on. And now I don't know that it's going to be all Robert Woods, because you mentioned John Metchie's obviously going to get some run. They trust him.
If Tank doesn't play and John Metchie doesn't become active for the first time this year.
Yeah,
I mean that says a ton of what they think of John Mitchell.
Well, look, I'm with Larry. Larry called into the post game show, I believe it was, and I think one thing that Bobby's got to do is he's got to move on from this. Everybody can play every wide receiver position and everything's interchangeable. Now, I know I just got through talking about Robert Woods. Robert Woods is that way because he's been in the league for 42 years. He's been in his system multiple times. He is that's why you keep him. He's an insurance policy, can play any position, and literally you can tell him to play any of the wide receiver positions on any given play, and he should know what to do like the back of his hand. So the insurance policy is valuable, right? $7 million insurance policy. You're using it in the first month of your term here. But I'm with Larry. I don't need to see Xavier Hutchinson. I don't need to see John Metchie. If it's Robert Woods on the field and he just so happens to get a catch because we're in a spot where CJ needs to get the ball out and take what's there, I'm cool with that, given that Tank's down. But this whole, like, whoever's active and this rotation, you don't have enough balls to go around it as it is. Like, Xavier Hutchinson don't need to be catching screens. You need to be blocking for screens if he's in the game, right? They're just – I've seen enough of that. So as we talk about Xavier and Metchie, that's cool for them to be active and be, you know, part of the rotation maybe. But we need to – Bobby's got to get back to really focusing on getting certain guys touches that can make plays.
Yeah, setting up screens for Xavier Hutchinson. That was like last year with Noah Brown. That was so – where they had Tank Dell blocking in front for Noah Brown. Yeah,
That's a tough one to understand. Unless you're just bullheaded about all these guys can do everything. Like that's fine and dandy when you win 10 games and when you're a first-year coordinator and when you're trying to figure everything out. You don't really know who Nico is. You don't know who Tank is. You're just trying to get everybody touches to figure everything. Like now you're established, and now you've got really explosive players. And I'm just I'm over the everybody can do everything.
Yeah, you're not approach. Catching somebody off guard with the screen.
No disrespect, but how many teams in this league have their fourth best receiver catching screens in a game?
Not even Sims. I mean, like that would make more sense.
In the screen game, it would. But if look at the Minnesota game. Just so you know, if Tank Dell doesn't play, you know what you're missing out. You look at the snap count of the Texans offense versus the Minnesota Vikings. Dalton Schultz, these are the pass catchers. Dalton Schultz, 96%. Diggs, 85% of the snaps. Nico Collins, 82% of the snaps. And Tank Dell, 67% of the snaps. I mean, that just tells you kind of Tank Dell's a depth receiver on this league, on this team. Tank Dell is a gadget receiver on this team. But you're losing a guy that was playing roughly 70% of the snaps, at least in the Minnesota game. And so I think it's going to be a combination of multiple guys that fill that role. But I'd be willing to bet you right now that the majority of it is filled with Robert Woods.
We'll see.
And, you know, look, Robert Woods, all joking aside, I know when they brought him in here to be a one or a two, like I'm like, wait, that's where we're going with our one or two receiver. That can't be right. But it ended up where, hell, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about because Nico and Tank clearly were one and two. But given what the Texans need to do, Ron, like given that they need to get back to the boring stuff, they need to get back to getting the ball out quick, they need to get back to the simple, stupid, basic, fundamental stuff, Robert Woods may not be he may not be a bad medicine for this. It may be just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is something to – I know where he's going to be. He's going to be in the right spot. And, you know, and especially with if they are making a – because you could see maybe within that bad boy, Bobby Slowick and company's like, hey, let's just tear this thing down and get back to the basics of things.
Right.
Let's get back to the basics. And Robert Woods is going to be somebody, all right, get the ball out quick. That's what we're doing. Let's get back to when we had great success last year. And he's going to be in the right place. I bet you we don't see CJ holding the ball as much. I feel like that's an adjustment.
Well, if that's what you want your offense to look like, right, which at this point in time the Texans need to get back to more of that, and if that's what you want is that underneath more of a ball control receiver, more of a possession receiver, give me a quick answer right now. I mean, that's really where Robert Woods thrives. And so it may be exactly what the doctor ordered. And if – not that CJ has trust issues with any of these guys, but if he's going to trust one of them, it's damn sure going to be Robert Woods in a backup role. So Tank Dell, 67% of the snaps last week. Looks like he's not going to play. I would imagine Robert Woods is going to get a good chunk of those, and it could be a good thing.
We'll see. Seems like Hutchinson was getting those snaps. But
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, as we continue, coming up after this next segment, not here, you got a little time. You got about 15, 20 minutes. We will be hooking somebody up with our next prize, and that is a $25 Visa gift card. If you're in the building or on your way, all you got to do is sign your name in that raffle, and then remember in the 5 o'clock hour, the big one, a pair of tickets to Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, along with a Bud Light wristband where you can have food, drinks, all of that as you tailgate out there. This is a package you don't want to pass up on, so get in here. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, the official injury report has just come out for the Texans, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later when we update the whole thing. But there is a particular player who just showed up on the injury report, and he just showed up with an injury that I promise will make Clint Sterner nervous. We'll discuss that coming up next.
The Big Orange Wagon, getting you ready for postseason baseball here in H-Town.
The Astros are not playing for a postseason berth or to get to a certain point in October, no. They are playing for straight-up banners.
New episodes every week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, next chance to win a $25 Visa gift card comes up as soon as this segment ends, so stay tuned for that. Or get in here and fill out your name in our raffle box so you can have a chance. All right, let's get right to this, Clint, because there are some names we've talked about. We've talked about Tank Dell. We've talked about the running backs that didn't practice, that showed up on the injury report. Clint, another name has shown up, and it's Nico Collins. And Nico Collins is limited with a hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how you feel about hamstrings. Those are the ones that you'd rather see ankle. You'd rather see a lot of things. But he is limited with a hamstring. Clearly, we understand what that has meant for Damian Pierce. He has missed the last 2 weeks with a hamstring. Nico Collins, obviously a receiver and obviously somebody that you don't want that plays a position where you don't want their hamstrings to be in any kind of an issue. Can he cut loose? Is he good? Yeah. And he's had issues with hamstrings. This wouldn't be the first time he's missed a game due to hamstrings. That one is one to really keep an eye on today and tomorrow to see how severe this injury is.
Yeah, man, it's like one of them old NASCARs with a bad wheel, Chief. Yeah, it's hard to win, man. Them hamstrings are bad, man. These guys are so tightly wound and run so damn much and in and out of their breaks so much, man. A little old hamstring,
yep,
just tweak is hard for these guys to get beyond. And the worst thing is when they think they feel good enough to go, and then they go out there and make it worse. And you just—it's almost you're better off just.
Or
saying,
you're thinking about it, or are you nervous to just let it hang all the way out?
Yeah, you're almost better off just shutting them down until they don't feel it at all, and then keep it moving. So this is not good. I would rather it be an ankle. Hell, I'd rather it be a knee, if I'm being completely honest with you. I mean, obviously not something that's going to keep him from playing, but a pain, you know, a sprained knee or something.
You're done.
I'd rather it be something like that than a nagging hamstring, you know, issue that's going on. So hopefully it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But down what looks like it's going to be Tank Dell already. They don't need to be down Nico Collins in a week when they need to get this offense right.
Or even a lesser, you know, Nico Collins.
That's right.
Right there. But we'll see there. We'll keep you updated on that or any reports that we give. But again, if you're just jumping in and you're missing it, Nico Collins has just popped up on the injury report, and he was limited today with a hamstring issue. All right, the Astros are off today, and these last three games, even though Tyler is going to lose his mind if they don't play well, depending on no matter who's out there, But these games are meaningless
difference
games.
Between playing well and committing four damn errors in a game. Okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's a difference
Tyler still has expectations for the Astros.
The nightmare third continues for Shea.
Three that they play in Cleveland.
That may have been your worst moment yesterday, Tyler, if I saw them bets right.
What?
Oh, did you bet the over? Is that what that was?
Yeah, the over for the game hit. I didn't hit the team total, but I hit more on the game than I didn't.
Astros over.
Oh, I got you.
No, I had the total for the game, too, and I had more money on that, so I'm all good.
Good, okay. All right, yeah. Yeah, Clint. That's the first thing Clint said when we got in there. He said, "What? I think Tyler."
When I saw that he made the bet, I was like, "I guess everybody's playing." And then I looked at the line. I was like, "Hell, ain't nobody playing." And then Bregman came out. I was like, "Boy, that's going to be in trouble." But I guess if you had the over the other side of it too on the big bet,
took a shot.
It don't matter.
Yeah, he took a shot. All right, but I think these games we're just really kind of getting prepared for. What the postseason's going to look like, what decisions Joe's going to make, what they're going to do. And there are some decisions in the outfield. And let's play a little odd man out. All right. Who is out? Who is the odd man out in this group? Text line, you can jump in, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, Tyler, Clint, jump in. Who is the odd man out here? Clint, I think we would agree that Kyle Tucker, he's in right field, right? Like, I think that one's fair. He's good. Right, he's back. Right, he's been playing. Kyle Tucker is going to be the right fielder. I think there are two other spots that are open and can be filled by multiple people. Listen, I love Chaz. I don't know how much Chaz is involved.
Not even in the conversation.
But who is the odd man out? Three guys, two spots. Jake Meyers, who has started predominantly in center field this year, made more starts in center field than anybody else. Mauricio Dubon, who we know can play any of the outfield positions, and he was the guy who started most of the games in center field last year during the postseason for the Houston Astros. And then Jason Hayward, who has been added to this group and has really, really come on here of late since he's arrived. Odd man out. Who is it? You got Tucker. Who are the other two, and who is the one that is out? You got Jason Hayward, you got Mauricio Dubon, and you got Jake Meyers. Who is the odd man out?
Man, I got Hayward in left and Dubon in center. I mean, you knew the answer to that one. I mean,
I
hope Jake comes around, man. But right now, it's cutting time, man. You got to put you got to put the best guys out there.
And I screwed up.
At this point, I think Dubon and Hayward gives you the best lineup right now. and if Dubon couldn't play outfield and he wasn't plenty good defensively, then we may have a conversation. But he's fine defensively. You can argue there's some better aspects of his game than Jake's. Definitely the arm, definitely at the plate. So for me, it's an easy decision.
Text line coming in, and I'll get to you, Tyler, because I'm interested in hearing you. Because I will say, here's the text line, Hayward in left, Dubon in center, Tucker in right. That should be the outfield, the entirety of the playoffs is what someone texted. Meyers is the odd man out, someone else texted in. I think it's going to be Jake. I think Jake is a –
What's going to be Jake?
I think Jake's going to be in center. Yeah. I'm sorry. Because I think that's what they have done throughout the year. I think Joe and them believe in Jake as the center field. I think Jake is going to be in there, and I think it's going to be Hayward. But I agree with your assessment. It would be Meyers is out. I think that's what most people have texted in here.
This goes back to our heated conversation yesterday to end the show. Like I think this is the time when Joe Espada – is going to make his name.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this, because they're we've talked about it many times. Like, is it Hayward, Dubon, or does Chaz come in and somehow recover, and does he work into the mix? What do you do in center field? What do you do at first base? What do you do at the catcher position? Because, look, I'll be honest. Like, I think one thing Joe did do well this year was the way he used his two catchers. With the situation at first base, He could have put Duvon over there. He could have put Singleton over. He had many options, but he chose to rotate four guys through there, including his two catchers. And a lot of times it was to get the better defensive catcher in there. It was to get the more veteran catcher in there. It was to get the better bats in the lineup. And so now he's going to have to do that at catcher, first base, center field, as well as left field. And the DH is going to play in there to some degree, unless Alvarez at this point with that knee is a full-time DH. So you want to talk about the decision, big-time decisions that are going to have to be made that are going to affect game in, game out. This is Joe Espada's time to shine in this when the playoffs start.
Yeah, I the way that I can hear it justified, I could hear Adam Spillane saying this too is. Who's better off the bench?
Playoffs are about defense and pitching, man.
Well, who's better off the bench? Who do you want to come off the bench to have to swing if you are, you know, you need a pinch hitter? And my thing is, I understand that, and I do think Duvon is better off. I went better off the bench to pinch hit than Jake Meyers. But I mean, how many guys in the lineup would you pinch hit for? And
but that doesn't
to
even,
me, it's
that if you would rather in a pinch hitting situation to come off the bench, you would rather have Duvon over Jake Meyers. Then why would you choose to have Jake Meyers for the three or four at bats before that over Duvon?
And that's my thing, because Jake is the only one that I would say that's who'll get pinch hit for, right? You're not pinch hitting for Diaz, I guess maybe at first,
yeah.
Right? Like maybe.
Oh, good point.
You know, maybe
if you were going to pinch hit for somebody in that lineup, it would be him.
Jake. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my thought, but I think that might be. The thinking. All right, odd man out. I think we both agree, Meyers. I think it's going to be Duvon. All right, coming up, a local coach is he's continuing to make this a thing. The question is, in Austin, is this thing an Arch Manning deal because he's playing well and he may continue to start? Or is it, hey, Quinn's just not ready yet and we want to wait? That's why he's unsure who is going to start. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our latest winner who won. Again, I ain't gonna put people's names out there. He's an Aggie though, Tyler, so you would enjoy that. But there you go. Just never know if he's supposed to be here or not. So not gonna put that man's name out there.
It's legal.
but he wins our $25 gift card. And coming up, the big one, the 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets if you're riding. Listen, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Texans and the Jags coming up on Sunday, and a wristband that gets you in free food, free drinks, and you can do a little tailgate courtesy of Bud Light.
That's a hell of a deal. All you got to do is pay for parking.
Yep.
I mean, you ultimately got great seats, is what we hear, and I don't know all the tailgates out there, but I don't think Bud Light's throwing together some two bit tailgate.
Not when they're getting you good seats. Yeah, I don't think that either. So we are at the Buffalo Wild Wings here in Tomball. So come on out and fill your name, put it in the raffle box. You ain't got to pay no money. Put it in the raffle box, and you have a chance to win coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So Sark saying Clint that he is still unsure who is going to be the starting quarterback.
He's playing game.
It's Thursday. Still unsure who's going to be the starting quarterback for the SEC opener at Mississippi State.
He's just playing games, man. He's just playing games. He knows he can do this against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's terrible this year. He knows who the starting quarterback's going to be.
I mean, listen, I do agree. If Quinn is not, you know, close to 100%. Yep. There's no reason to start him up Mississippi State. You get him more reps, but
it's a luxury they have, right? Is you've got a guy you believe in, so you don't have to play your starter. if indeed there is any kind of nagging or this thing's taking a little bit longer to recover from than expected, you don't have to take that risk because you got a backup that you've developed. You've got a guy that's been patient with the organization. You got a guy that you trust, you believe in. The team rallies around him. It's a luxury that Texas has right now. One of the healthier, if not the healthiest, quarterbacks room in all of college football.
Yes. But next week, the next 2 weeks, it changes. The next 2 weeks, they're playing Oklahoma and they're playing Georgia. Mm. The next 2 weeks after Mississippi State, they play Oklahoma, Georgia. And then, to be honest with you, after that, this damn Vanderbilt Commodore team, they are a game bunch. They had Missouri in overtime, a top 10 team last week at Missouri. So they're not just a pushover like Vanderbilt has been, like when you played, and has been. So that's not a easy 3-game stretch. But you think you'll be shocked if Quinn is not starting against Oklahoma.
Yeah, the minute that Quinn Ewers is healthy, he will be the starting quarterback for Texas Longhorns. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shocked off my ass if he's not.
Yeah, like, I don't – listen, as I said, I thought it was a possibility. Now, the more action that Arch gets and the more he shows, like, there could be something there. Like I said, last week his performance was not to be good enough to overset. But look, if he comes in here and goes off and scores 7 touchdowns or something,
well, look,
counts
play,
for that.
If he has to play against Mississippi State, he needs to play well. Because look, let me be honest with you, there's nothing Arch Manning or Quinn Ewers or anybody else can do to move the needle at all against UTSA. And then what was it, Louisiana Monroe last week? And he didn't play well enough. He played good, let me be wrong, but he didn't play well enough starting with the early interception. And so Arch, he needs to play. He needs to play an SEC caliber opponent. And he needs to play well. So if he does have to play, it'll be a good experience for him. But I don't think there's – we're talking about a guy that took his team to the college football playoffs when it was 4. We're talking about a guy that beat Michigan convincingly and played at a Heisman Trophy level against Michigan on the road in the Big House. There ain't nothing Arch can do against these 3 opponents that are going to change that.
Yep. Someone on the text line saying, whoever starts this week should start against OU next week.
that just don't make sense.
Yeah,
no matter how they do this weekend, huh?
We'll see. No, Tyler, what you're saying is, man, like if Arch just goes nuts, like I think it's at least a conversation. If not, at least a conversation. I think Arch potentially finds himself getting time in some form or fashion. I could see that, like, potentially. I don't know. It's completely over. If it's anything like last week, yes, this is Quinn's ball game. If it's anything like that last week, Tyler brought up a really good point earlier with this, and I'd like to take this to you and the people, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Listen, Mixon showed up on the injury report again. We'll give you the full one coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes from now. But he's listed as week to week. And Tyler, you kind of posed this thought, so I'll let you jump this first. How concerned are you about this? How concerned are you about Joe Mixon day-to-day with the potential of missing – his second straight game?
That's where I'm kind of torn, because I can't tell in my heart if I'm freaking out and I'm concerned, as in how you just phrased that question, or if I just am desperate to get more of that run game we saw week 1 that we have not seen in Houston in forever. And maybe they go hand in hand, but it's not good. You loved what you saw week 1. Like I said, an actual running attack for the Houston Texans. It was a sight for sore eyes, and Mixon, he handled that workload well. Well, until he landed on this injury report. But I've liked what we've seen from Cam Akers a little bit. British Brooks, just take a break, take a seat. But Cam Akers, and if Damian Pierce can get healthy, I don't think I'm completely freaked out, but I do think it will have an impact in the negative way on the running attack for Slowick in the offense.
See, Clint, I think you have to be majorly concerned, because I mean, week 1 we were saying there were comparisons of who who was the better offseason sign, Saquon Barkley or Joe Mixon?
Saquon has continued to prove who that is.
It's continued to go off, and now that is not the case. Yeah. Tyler, I think you can't be, and Clint, you can't be nothing but extremely concerned because, honest to goodness, this running game over two seasons now under Bobby Slowick has only looked the way that I think they intended it to look one time with one back. Even the time that Singletary had success, as you said, many a times it was like him making somebody miss in the hole. It's only one time we've seen this thing work where we see them the pitch play work to perfection or him cutting back is with that guy. So I think it's a huge concern with him potentially missing another week.
Well, it's in a week like this would be a week that you'd feel like he'd be able to go off. This is a week where you feel like he'd be able to contribute in a way of 100-plus yards. And you flat out need it. I'm going to be honest with you, though, man. You're watching some of that Minnesota game, it's just the lack of – I hate to say this because I did not want to be back in this rut again this year.
But the physicality?
It's just – I mean, some of the stuff – you know, Titus is just Titus and Laramie are really the two that really stick out. It's just, I mean, the level or the lack of physicality and the almost appearing to not know who you have to block in a scheme from time to time is glaring, man. I guess this is the only NFL offensive line that I've watched and critiqued and criticized like this, so maybe it's league wide. Hell, I don't know. I just when I look at it, it's just like, man, like that can't go over well in meetings.
I wouldn't think so, and I don't. And also, Clint, this is one. This is one. We'll see if this continues, and because like I think there is a clear thought. This cost us the game. It's at least one major reason, major thing that cost us the game. But like, if this continues, I think it can really reach a big problem. And there are people who are really going to react differently than maybe they are after the one. Right? Hey man, we're holding us together. And like, we had Aziz Alshire on earlier, and I asked him about how this team is handling expectations, and he did. He did a terrific job of completely ducking the question and acting like I asked him a completely different question.
Oh, no.
But he knows that this thing gets heightened, Clint, when you have the expectations of trying to get to a Super Bowl and win, and we're doing this, and people came here, and people are here with that expectation. This isn't no, hey man, we just win 10 games, man, let's go. No, this some guys are here, some serious business.
Yep.
And if this thing continues to cost them games, like that's going to be really problematic moving forward. So, yeah, it's cool, it's all right right now, but they've got to fix this quickly. All right, coming up, we will give you the full injury report. We'll let you know if the player Nico Collins, who just jumped on it, the latest on Tank Dell and Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, as well, get you ready for this game tonight the Cowboys and the Giants get going on Thursday Night Football. All of that as we continue live right here on The Drive.